Thank you. Today, we relight the first two candles of the Advent wreath, the candle of hope and the candle of peace. Now, we light the third candle of Advent. This is the candle of joy. As the coming of Jesus, our Savior, draws nearer, our joy builds with our anticipation of his birth. From the book of Isaiah, we read the words of our Lord. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating, for I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. From the New Testament, the words of Paul to the Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit.
Let us pray. We joyfully praise you, O Lord, for the fulfillment of your promise of a Savior and what that means in our lives. Thank you for the gift of salvation through the birth of your Son, Jesus. Create us anew as we wait and help us to see your glory as you fill our lives with your living Spirit. Amen.
Talents and abilities with us. I have to admit, it's one of the traditions here at St. Paul's that that I, to my shame, always forget about during the year. And then when it comes to this day and I remember that we're doing this, I am always so blessed by it. It's such a wonderful treat to hear our children sharing their talents and abilities. And we're going to hear them share later now here too, all the rest of the children, sharing the Christmas message, and that's really what this is all about. And so I'm excited to take part in this and to hear from them this morning. You don't get to listen to me. You don't have to listen to me talk for very long here today. And so so I'm not going to speak really anymore. But I just want to share one brief announcement here for those of us who are St. Paul's regulars. If you know Helen Larson, she's a longtime member of our congregation, the oldest member of our congregation, and she passed away here on Friday night. And so pray for the Larson family. Pray for all the others who might be grieving and hurting the loss of loved ones through this holiday season as well. I'm going to call on the ushers then to come forward at this time. We're going to take an offering. Again, if you are a visitor to St. Paul's, do not feel compelled to have to give or anything like that, but this is a part of our regular practice here as a congregation too. And so I'll invite the ushers to come forward.
look at my pants and I said I have a big jaw. Whatever could that be? They asked for such a child as small as you. I'm in a program, teacher said, to give a welcome to each guest. So I asked the Lord the homie to do my job the very best. So welcome to our program. Wonderful Christmas is its name. Jesus' birthday. Welcome, welcome. We're glad you came.
Good morning, friends. I, too, welcome you to our program. At this Christmas time, we want you to consider on a beautiful, descriptive word found in the Bible several times. It is the word wonderful. How frequently we use the word wonderful in our daily conversations. We tell our friends we have wonderful children, we boast of wonderful food, a wonderful thought, and a wonderful vacation. We enjoy wonderful health and music and friends. We speak of a wonderful job and wonderful weather, but did you know that the word wonderful is a title given to the Lord? Today we are going to consider the wonderfuls of Christmas. The first one is wonderful promise.
The prophet Isaiah was instructed by the Holy Spirit 700 years before Christ was born to give this promise. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Let us look at other prophecies in the Bible.
This prophecy of the Savior is coming in Genesis 3:15. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.
It was Micah who told where the promised Savior would be born. It is found in Micah 5:2. But you, O Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days.
Isaiah told how the promised Savior would suffer and that he would die for our sins. We find this in Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed.
God knew mankind's deep spiritual need. Every adult, teen, and child is born in sin. Because of God's holiness and purity, he cannot accept us, even at our best. But on that wonderful night, when his wonderful promise of coming the Messiah was fulfilled, heaven's gates were opened and Christ came down to be born in the flesh so he could die and shed his blood and anointment for our sins. Shepherds were abiding in the fields that night, watching their sheep as they rested on the hillsides near Bethlehem. One wonders that what they were talking about up in the clear, beautiful night nearly 2,000 years ago. Surely these men were expecting the promised Messiah. Suddenly, without warning, a bright light shone around them, and an angel stood before them. Of course, they were frightened. You would have been too. The angel brought them a wonderful message from God, direct from heaven.
Luke 2:10-12 says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.'"
Happy and excited the shepherds must have been. They had been entrusted with the greatest news of all times. The wonderful message brought hope not only for them, but for all mankind. I don't think they fully understood nor thought it all through, but they believed that the promised Messiah had come, Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Then as far into the heavens as they could see was a choir of shining angels' faces, perhaps thousands of happy angels' faces. Luke tells us it was a multitude of the heavenly host. They were carrying out an assignment from God, and their message was a benediction to the wonderful message that Christ had come. Angels' voices filled the air with words that we now know and love. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men.
Men, he has come. He has come. Our Messiah has come. This is the promised one our people have been looking for.
There must have been thousands upon thousands of angels. They must have been sent from God. The angel said we didn't need to be afraid, but I'm still trembling. He said he was giving us great news of joy.
The angel said we would find him laying in a manger. It must be the shed behind the inn. I know where it is, for you have been there many times.
What about our sheep? Who will take care of them?
Men, God will protect our sheep, for he has given us a message and has told us to go. We will be back at grazing time.
God's son needed no beginning, for he was with God when the world was formed, but he didn't need a human body. So God performed a miracle by choosing Mary, a young virgin, to be his human mother. The Christ child was conceived by the Holy Spirit after an angel gained Mary's consent. An angel also appeared to Joseph to assure him that the baby to be born was the Son of God. Mary and Joseph lived in Nazareth, a town west of the Sea of Galilee. Caesar had demanded that everyone everywhere be registered. He wanted to know how many people he had under his rule. Both Mary and Joseph had been born in Bethlehem, a village far south. Mary was nearing the time of delivery, but she was willing to travel nearly 85 miles for the census. God had arranged for the whole world to meet a deadline to fulfill his promise that the Savior be born in Bethlehem, as the prophet Micah foretold.
What child is this? Christ not only had a supernatural birth, but because he was the Son of God, deity in the flesh, he was a supernatural child. He was the only one that ever lived before he was born. The Bible tells us very little about his childhood and youth, but because he was God in the flesh, he was God as a toddler, as well as being God as a boy. He was God as a teenager. When he was in his youthful 20s, he was pure, perfect Son of God.
Even his name is wonderful, because Jesus means salvation. The angel Gabriel told Mary that she should call his name Jesus. To Joseph, an angel said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. It is through this name that we are saved. For the scripture says, there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. It is through the name of Jesus that we pray." The Apostle Paul wrote that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What a wonderful name.
Jonah chapter 2 verse 9, salvation is of the Lord.
Ephesians 5:14, Christ will shine on you.
John 3:3, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God.
John 8:36, so if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed.
Psalm 96:1-2, oh, sing to the Lord a new song, sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day.
Luke 2:11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.
Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth.
Last of all, let us consider the wonderful Savior of Christmas. He said, "I have come that they might have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." The Christmas story is not complete without the cross. It would not have come if he had come to die, and he could not have died if he was not taken on the body of the flesh, the human. The birth of Christ was part of God's wonderful plan for our redemption. Christ is the door. He is the gateway to eternal life. There is no other way to heaven except through him. Jesus said himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but me."
Wonderful Christmas. It is wonderful because it is the birth of our wonderful Savior. What better gift could we give him on his birthday than to give him our hearts and lives? As many receive him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
I think we should show our appreciation to the kids, should we, for all their work here. While they are finishing a few things, I think, in their rooms, I want to just mention a few other things for you here today, too. Make sure if you see Anna Bembo to thank her. She was the director of this program, and thank you to all of the others who helped so much, Marta on the piano and many others here to make this happen. We're so grateful for the time and effort put in. It's not a good to be ranking ministries, but I'll just say it this way. Our children's ministry is so important, isn't it? And we really, really need to be focusing and putting our time and attention in that, investing in the lives of our young people. And so thank you to all of you who helped with that and who have been helping with Sunday school this whole year. Stay for food. There's food served down in our fellowship hall now. The only thing I just heard a couple minutes ago from the chef is that the meat is hopefully going to be done. And I say that for you for two reasons. Number one, because if you linger for a minute or two, it's probably okay. Although I think it is going to be done. But number two, it's meat. It's going to be really good. It smells delicious. And so please stay for it. There's plenty of food for everybody. We just ask, there's two hallways down in this building. This near one, do not take that. Come down to the hallway down here, and then that's where the line will form around. And so there should be plenty of time and plenty of food. And so please stick around and enjoy that time of fellowship. And then I want to invite you, too, to come back. If you don't have a church home, we'd love to have you here at St. Paul's. Even if you do have a church home but are looking for somewhere to be on Christmas Eve, we have two services here. The first one at 4:30, and the second one is at 10 p.m., which is a little bit of a new thing for us here at St. Paul's. The 4:30 service is going to be filled with lots of music and the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2, and then the traditional candle lighting service as well. And so come to that. And if you are one who doesn't mind staying up a little bit late, the 10 p.m. service is going to be pretty special. We're going to have it mostly just lit by candle, and we're going to serve communion at that time and enjoy that very, very quiet and peaceful night of Christmas, the night that Jesus came to save us from our sins, as the kids put it so well here this morning for us. And so again, I want to thank you for coming and for being a part of this very special day. I will close us here in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this time, and thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you, God, for all that you are, as the children so eloquently said today and sang for us. Thank you, God, for our children, and thank you for loving them. Thank you for the many abundant blessings that you shower upon them and upon all of us. And I pray, God, that this Christmas season, our hearts would be focused on you and looking to you. We are excited for Christmas. We are excited in this season of Advent, too, as we wait for you to come. We're excited for you to come back, Lord. We're excited for you to come to take us to live with you and to live with you forever in heaven. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to show us just how much you love us. Thank you, God, for the love that you so brilliantly demonstrated on the cross, that Good Friday, and then the victory over the tomb on Easter Sunday as well. Lord, we are excited for when you will come and take us to be with you in heaven forever. And so we look forward to that day. Bring it quickly. And as we prepare for Christmas, may that excitement be the theme of our lives. Lord, bless this food that we are about to enjoy together. Thank you for each person here. And I pray that you would bless each family this Christmas season. In your name I pray. Amen. Go in God's peace today. Serve the Lord. Thanks for coming. Thank you.